Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM Buffalo. WDCX AM Rochester and WDCX HD1 Rochester.
Welcome to Neil Boron Live. Real talk that gets to the heart of the matter and music that inspires. NBL is the place for information, motivation, and encouragement. So drop the mask, pick up the phone, and get ready to join the conversation at 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And now, here's Neil Bora, live.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new week. Thanks for tuning in to NBL on WDCX, or for not tuning out if you were listening to some of our previous programming here on WDCX FM in Buffalo, WDCX AM in Rochester, WDCZ AM in Buffalo. However you got here, we're just grateful that you're listening. So here we have a brand new week, and of course that means a lot of new opportunity that God has placed before us, and we want to take advantage of it. Talk about some important stuff today as it relates to stopping. Wait, you say, wait a minute, what does stop mean? Well, I had the privilege this morning of listening to some stuff from John Eldridge. Many of you, you know Wild at Heart, you know the name John Eldridge, but he did a book recently that deals with how to get our lives back. Basically, that we live in the fast lane and the world is kind of swirling around us and many are drowning in the meantime. Like, too many commitments, social media and the pressure it creates, demands that are placed upon us at work and even in the body of Christ, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. The world is moving at a frenetic pace and it's costing people dearly. The word Sabbath doesn't mean rest, it means to stop. Like the verse we read that says, cease striving and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10, right? I mean, the idea that we need to slow down and take account of our lives. And while we press on, right, towards the mark, we know that scripturally speaking, that while we have work to do, there's a need to stop once in a while and slow down. We're going to talk about that in some detail today. The coronavirus is raging on, and obviously there's even more concern, not only on Wall Street, but in communities all over the planet. And we've got a lot of stuff on our plate right now. So, Lord, bless our conversation today. Pray that you would give us wisdom in how we conduct ourselves in everyday life. But most importantly, we need a relationship with you, a deep and intimate and abiding relationship with you. And I just pray that it would not be crowded out by life's demands. There's just so much being thrown at all of us right now. And in Jesus' name, I just pray that we'd be able to take a deep breath and hear from you. And that's our goal today. So meet us here and change us by your presence, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, John Eldridge will be joining us in just a few minutes here on NBL. We've talked a little bit about this kind of issue before, you know, when talking about things like soul care and white space. Those are terms that may be familiar to you because we've discussed them here before. And there is a need to slow down and to experience quietness and rest and solitude. And, you know, Jesus actually walked away from crowds at times to go spend time with his Heavenly Father. Why did he do that? Because he needed to stop. So we're going to talk about what you and I can stop today. And I think we're actually going to be on this theme somewhat this week, so stick around because I hope we're all going to be different as a result of the conversation. This concept of taking time for Sabbath rest, to literally stop and turn it off, like hit the off switch, and just rest and recuperate and be revived in the presence of God, is something that even the Newsboys addressed. And if Newsboys can address an issue like this, and we probably ought to talk about it. I mentioned John Eldridge will be with us in just a bit. Got some profound things to say on the subject. But in the middle of everything that's going on in this crazy world in which we live, I believe God is calling us to a place of solitude and rest. This is Newsboys on NBL, and be still. Thank you. like the enemy wants to steal your life from you? Well, I can tell you it's true. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I believe that one of the ways he's doing it is through the frenetic pace that we are forced to try to live on this planet these days. And, you know, technology was supposed to be our best friend. I'm not anti-technology, by the way. But, right, it was supposed to save us so much time. So I think then it helps us to buy this lie that we can do it all. You can have, sure, you can have time with your family and work 16-hour days. You can be on 14 committees at church and find time for God. So I don't know why we buy these lies, but I think we do, and it's costing us dearly. Healthcare is being affected by all of this. Sanity, even mental health issues, affected deeply by all of this. So what does it mean to be still, like Newsboys were singing about? What does it mean to cease striving and know that He is God? We're going to talk about it with John Eldridge when NBL returns here on WDCX.
The definition of Oasis, Neil Boron, live.
Well, I hope that's true, especially in light of today's conversation, that maybe this is a place, Lord willing, where we can gather weekday afternoons and come to our senses. And it isn't like we can unplug from everything in the world around us. I mean, if you're a parent, you still got to parent your kids. If you have a job, you still got to go to work. But how do we remain sane in the midst of the mess? It's a fascinating topic. We're going to talk about it with New York Times bestselling author John Eldridge, who the publicist says is helping readers to reclaim their lives and make room for God in a world gone mad. And this I found interesting, that the average American checks their phones 80 times per day. Personally, I think that's low. The reason is if you're up 16 hours a day, 16 waking hours, you only have to look at it 5 times per hour to hit the 80 mark. I see people checking their phones constantly. I bet I'm in the 80 range myself, and I don't want to be. I'd like to be in the 10 to 20 range if that was even possible. 70% of people sleep with their phone in reach when they go to bed at night. I want to share a quote real quick from the book. John Eldridge says, "Our souls are bleary, they're seared, they're smeared. Still able to love, yes, still able to hope and dream, but at the end of any given day, most people come home in a state of exhaustion. Numb on our good days, fried more often than we admit, the world has gone completely mad, and it's trying to take our souls with it." Well, I'm going to find out if you agree with that today, and we're going to talk with John Eldridge about it here on NBL, and I want to welcome him to the conversation, or I should say back to the conversation. He's been our guest a number of times over the years. John, it's good to have you with us. God bless you. How are you?
Yeah, thank you, Neil. It's good to talk to you again. Always love our conversations.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about this on the way in this morning. I was actually listening to you on a podcast about this book, and I'm thinking, here's the guy, you know, wild at heart, John Eldridge, going, doing, conquering the world kind of guy, talking about slowing down and getting our lives back. And it, in one sense, doesn't make sense. But on the other hand, thank you for having the courage to address this head on, because in some circles, this isn't popular to address. I mean, we want to live in a world that allows us to be everything to everybody and to do more and to run ourselves ragged, not only for our bosses, but for the glory of God, apparently. And you're raising a red flag in the middle and saying, wait a second, it's not how it's supposed to be. So let me hear from you on that for just a minute, because this is a slightly different take than most of the John Eldridge books we've seen over the years.
Yeah, right, because I love to go. I love to charge, and I love to advance the work of Jesus in the world. But then I saw what it was doing to me and to a lot of the folks I love, that I was cooked. I was that guy who was just fried at the end of most days. We have little grandchildren now, 3 years old, 2 years old, 1 year old, and I noticed I could only play with them for about 5 minutes, and then I wanted to check my phone, check my email, you know, plug back into the matrix. And I thought, good grief, like, what is happening? So I began to read on it, and the more I read and the more data, the more people I talked to, the more concerned I got about this. You know, I've been a Christian therapist for 30 years, but I think this is a nightmare. This is a perfect storm. I think most people are getting totally dried out.
Yep.
And then you're set up, you know, for an addiction, a crisis, a meltdown, something.
Yeah, because it's too much. We weren't made for this. And that's the part I 100% agree on. And by the way, I absolutely love the book. I love what you've done here. And we're going to dig in detail. But I just got to tell you, as an aside, because this really fits where I'm at. Last October, just a few months ago here, I turned 59. And it occurred to me, and by the way, you describe like a second conversion kind of thing. We'll talk about that later. I've experienced similar times in my life, and I've had moments where I just felt cooked, right? And, okay, coming up to 59, I realized that I'm going to be 60 soon. And if by God's grace, I happen to live 80 years, there's no promise of tomorrow, of course, but if I lived 80 years on this earth, that means I'm entering the fourth quarter of life soon. That seems impossible to comprehend, first of all, because I feel like I'm 35, but, you know, it's the truth. So I started thinking about that, and as I talked to God about it, I wasn't trying to manufacture this. I wasn't looking for it. I just began to feel in my soul that the Lord was saying, Neil, it's time to slow down. It's time to stop. It's time to take a Sabbath rest. I couldn't give it a different word. I would just say like a Sabbath rest. And all the extra stuff you do in your life, all the commitments you make to people to help them with this project or that project or to MC this banquet or show up at that event or go to this walkathon or whatever, and I've done thousands of those over the years working in radio, I really sense God was saying to me, Neil, it's time to rest, and I want you to hear from me this year so that you're ready to finish strong in the fourth quarter of your life. So when I ran across this book and realized what you were talking about, this was resonating with my soul, John. But I don't think I'm alone. Whether or not people have had, you know, been on the same kind of journey to spend an entire year just stopping what they're doing and knowing that He is God in the midst of all. Now, I haven't quit being a husband or a father or a grandfather or coming to work on, you know, Monday to Friday. I still have those responsibilities. But I did sense that the Lord was saying, knock it off because you need to be revived. You need to be refreshed. And I didn't know how else it was going to happen unless I decided to quit some stuff. So I don't know what got you to this point, but can you talk about it from your own perspective? Because obviously God's been saying something to you about this.
Yeah, I think the Holy Spirit's saying it to the church. I really do, because I'm not the only book out there right now that's talking about the chaos of our moment. And see, the thing is, it's a perfect storm right now, because there's the pace of life, everybody's running. But then, in addition to, you know, you got to get the kids to music or to soccer, you know, it's just all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have we're so overplugged in, you know, we're spending all kinds of time on our phones and our apps, and so if there is any free time, there's no free time anymore because
right.
People immediately you just pick up your phone, right?
Right.
And then you add this third piece, and again it. As a therapist, I was watching this happen to clients. We are on empathy overload because the human soul is never meant to be exposed to this much information. But you know everything that's happening in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know about the earthquakes in Turkey, and you know what's happening in Syria this week. It's horrible. And, you know, United States in an election year is just a, you know, horrible place to live. And,
amen.
And,
yeah.
So it's all that. It's not just one of those things. It's not, yeah, I kind of had a busy week. You know, everybody has a crazy week. Everybody has a crazy season. But when crazy becomes our normal, what had happened to me was I stopped doing all those things that give me life. Like I stopped riding my mountain bike and I stopped reading. And I noticed this. I'm like, whoa, John, like you have abandoned everything that once kind of like nourished your soul. It's your time with God, you know, to be out on a walk in the woods or whatever. I'd abandoned most of that just to keep up and to make sure that I was, you know, banging out email and, you know, getting it all done,
mm-hmm.
right? And, oh, I didn't like what it was doing to me. So I think Jesus said it to you. He said it to me. I think he's saying it to the church of, like, my dear ones, don't let the world do this to you.
Well, and what you're implying, of course, and I'm going to just underscore it, that this is a godly thing, and I agree 100%, but somehow we've made it like a sign of weakness, right? That, like, if we can't do it all, if we just can't manage, keep all the plates spinning, you know, in the air and stuff, then somehow we have a problem. And on the other hand, there's a sense that says, be still and know that He is God. Like that that power is perfected in weakness, not in strength. You know, not in accomplishment. God's power perfected in our weakness, and that it's okay to admit that we can't do it all. And as a matter of fact, probably going back to the Garden of Eden, we are not God. He is, and we were created for dependence upon Him. And so they're really, it's not just a spiritual component. I think it's a spiritual issue, right? This thing is all about what it means to be dependent creatures on our Heavenly Father, Creator of the universe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the core of it, I think. You know, there's all these other surface issues, like how much time are you spending, you know, on your phone and that sort of thing. But the core issue is, you read the saints down through the ages, and they will all tell you that it is lingering time with God, being able to give God our undivided attention, that brings about Christian transformation. It's mm-hmm. what heals the soul. It's what shapes our thoughts. It's where we, you know, we become more Christ-like. But what the world has done, what it did to me, and this is where I just went, time out, was it had reduced. I used to love my time with God in the morning. I really loved it. And, you know, it would be different things in different seasons. I'd be doing a Bible study, or sometimes I would just take a walk and say my prayers. But I loved that time. And I noticed it was going from 30 minutes to 20 minutes to 10 minutes to a quick prayer as I rush out the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I think you're right. I think it is ultimately a spiritual crisis. And that's why I'm super concerned for folks, because if the world can cook us like this, then you're just a sitting duck to get taken out. I mean, you just look at the panic over the coronavirus now and what it's doing to global markets and stuff. And mm-hmm. The fear is far worse than the virus.
It sure is. And, you know, you mentioned the word compassion a little while ago. Christians are compassionate people. And not only do we think we should be, I think because of God's Spirit living within us, we just are. But we can't do everything for everybody. And I had a conversation with Gary Thomas not long ago. I think, you know, Gary, the author, you know, bestselling
author.
Yeah,
such a good guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he wrote the book called When to Walk Away. And it was about finding freedom from toxic people. But
Important book.
Yeah. But the point of it was like, look, at even Jesus walked away from people, and he did so many times in the Gospels, and Gary pointed it out, for the reason that he needed to be alone with his Heavenly Father. He needed some solitude. And I know you address similar things in this book, the idea that this is something Jesus practiced. It isn't just like a good idea we ought to try. This is actually following in the footsteps of our own Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, who did this regularly. What do we know about the attitude of Jesus on an issue like this?
Who is always loving, by the way.
Like,
we can reassure ourselves of that. When I'm watching Jesus move through the Gospels, I'm watching love, right? And Jesus isn't ruled by the drama, and he's not ruled by the human need. You know, opening chapter of Mark, he heals some people, and the whole town shows up at the door the next morning, but they can't find Jesus because he's already left, and he's off, you know, it says in a place of solitude praying, and the disciples come to him, and they say, Lord, everyone's looking for you. it sounds like my life, you know. Everyone wants something. And moms feel that, right? Feel that. Like, everybody needs something from you. And Jesus says, you know what? Let's leave. And I look at that and go, this is love? This is amazing. Like, it's not that he lacks compassion. It's that he is not ruled by the drama. He's not ruled by the need. And so Jesus began to bring this into my life when I'd come to him in a time of prayer, and he would say, John, I just want you to give everyone to me. Just give everyone to me right now. And, you know, your kids and your colleagues, and, you know, I'd be praying for what was going on over in Syria, and he'd just say, let it go. Just give everyone to me right now. And learning to do that actually made more room in my soul for God.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit was, I actually became a more loving person, not less. It's not checking out, but it is practicing that 1 Peter 5 invitation of cast all your cares upon him. We're just not meant to carry this stuff, Neil.
I agree. And I have to say that when I was listening to that podcast earlier, and I'm sure you've done quite a few of those kind of things and probably hundreds of interviews, I don't know, if not now, by the time you know, others find out about the book, you'll certainly get to that point. So let's pray for John Eldridge so that you can find some peace in the midst of all this, because you're kind enough to take a little time to be with us today. But no, as I was listening, there was something really powerful resonating in what you were saying. And I hope I can say this right, but like literally two things came to mind about the Garden of Eden. That on the one hand, Adam and Eve believed that like they were missing something. Like if they didn't try to be God, that maybe they were being snookered by God. Like, you know, because the enemy said, you know, did God really say, like, is it possible that maybe he's hiding something from you? So I think there's an innate fear that if we're not involved in the decision-making process of our lives, if we're not in charge, that somehow we're going to miss out, we're going to end up shorthanded, God maybe doesn't really know about all of our needs. There's some fear attached to that. But then secondly, you know, on the issue of, like, what are we going to do about it, is the idea that we think we know best and that we can offer something to God. And the image that came to mind when I was listening to you talk about that earlier was like, you know, at a major construction site, let's say, they're knocking down, you know, this massive building and there's 20,000-pound boulders and things there that are needing to be carried away. And they have this massive earth-moving equipment with hydraulics that just pick it up and move these pieces like no problem. Well, it's kind of like if we stepped into that situation and said, hey, let me give this crane operator over here an opportunity. Let me give him a little help. I'm going to pick up this 20,000-pound boulder and give him a hand. You'd laugh at that. Any one of us would laugh and go, you can't do that. Like, you're not capable of doing that. But is it in an even bigger way, isn't that what we try to do with God? Like, Lord, my family's got a stressful situation, or there's something going on at work, or there's a need at the local mission that I need to address. And instead of trusting Almighty God to handle this stuff, we feel like we need to help him out and that he actually can't do it unless we're willing to jump in and give him a hand. Now, he does call us to serve him and calls us to be alongside him, but somewhere we've gotten way off base, like that somehow we think we matter in this equation. And yet that sounds so terrible when I say that. So help me make sense of what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. You're naming several things that are really good, Neil. The first one, I think you're right. I think it's the fear. Fear is what's driving our pace of life. You know, like, I can't let any of this go. You don't understand. You don't know my life. You know, it's that.
Right.
I think it's fear. And fear is what's compelling us to check our phones, and the fear of, like, I can't miss out. I got to stay connected. I need to stay up on, you know, whatever it is, the news or your friends or your work, or, you know. So fear is driving it. And then there's that, you know, what you're describing about that hydraulics is a beautiful analogy, right? God is the hydraulics of human experience.
Mm-hmm.
he takes our little and he makes it much, you know. But if you try and operate without those, you know, hydraulics, without the presence of God in us, so this is John 15. You know, Jesus says, right, remain in me. And if you remain in me, your life is going to be really, really fruitful. And I think he knew the human, you know, nature. You know, I start my morning with prayers, and then I blast out the door. It is... I kind of check back in with him in the evening. Hey, Lord, where you been all day? You know.
Yeah.
He's inviting us. He's inviting us into what you were describing—that togetherness.
Yeah, and there's so much peace and rest in the sound of that word, togetherness, because ultimately God's inviting us to trust Him. And Jesus Himself, you referred to it earlier, but you know, He said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." But there aren't a lot of people in the body of Christ who are really sensing that or feeling that on a regular basis. So I know I'm looking at the clock here and realizing that we don't have a lot of time with you, but I want to get to a couple things. Like, you have some solid suggestions for listeners here in Western New York and Southern Ontario that we can actually begin to employ to begin to address this thing. Things like the one-minute pause and benevolent detachment and the whole thing about recognizing beauty, but let's touch on some of that for a minute, because this is sort of like the antidote. This is the solution coming in here. And where do we begin, John? It's overwhelming.
Yeah. And it's easy, gang. Like, I'm not telling you to become, you know, a monk or move, you know, into the wilderness. It's whatever help God has for us, it has to fit in our real life. And so really simple stuff, like don't check your phone first thing in the morning. You don't need to do that. Simple unplugging. Like, I was addicted to it. I would wake up and look at my phone, and then you're immediately in the matrix, right? It's the emergency text or the crisis email from your mother or whatever, you know. Leave your phone on the counter and, like make a cup of coffee, look out the window, say some prayers, like you get to be a human being again. Mm-hmm. And this idea of pausing was where God began to rescue me. I call it the one-minute pause. I just realized during my day, I can stop 60 seconds. I can do this and just pause. And in the pause, I find God again. I don't need to go from meeting to meeting to email to phone call, and on my commute, I'm catching the news, and I'm catching up on podcasts, and, you know, it's like, I can pause. I can do that. And it's really that Shabbat idea, the Sabbath idea you were talking about in your own life, where Jesus said, Neil, I want you to make some room for a little Sabbath in your life, right?
Right.
And for me, just introducing people to the idea of pausing. And so, get this. We put it on their phone, like we built an app, because we knew that's where everybody's living. Let's put the pause right there. So it's called the one-minute pause. It's free. It's on the App Store. 40,000 people have downloaded this app.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome. And we're getting these killer stories coming in of people saying, this is rescuing me. This is actually saving my life. Because people had just been so spun up, there's no pause left. So, like, learn to pause. Let Christ back in a moment. And he's right there, by the way.
We used to pause in radio for station identification. I'm going to pause so I can download the app that's going to tell me to pause.
Exactly.
What's it called again? Give me.
It's called the 1 minute pause. And it's by Ransom Tart, but we're the only one in there. You type that in, you're going to find it because people right now, it's so popular. It's the first thing that will come up. 1 minute pause, Ransom Tart. Free, you download it on your phone, and then what it will guide you through is there's a 1 minute, there's a 3 minute, there's a 5 and a 10. And when we built this thing, I'm like, oh, nobody's going to use the 10. Are you kidding me? Nobody's got 10 minutes. And now people are writing back in. I talked to a guy this morning that's logged 800 minutes on this app because it's rescuing. And here's how it goes. There's some music, there's some prayer, and it begins with this, friends. It's as simple as this. Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. And you just sit with that 60 seconds. Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. And as you do that, your soul starts getting better. And you have room. You suddenly recognize the presence of God with you again. So it's a very simple thing. It's the first chapter in the book. It's a very healing experience to just learn to pause.
Isn't that the essence of what it means to cease striving and know that he is God, really? I mean, because in one sense it sounds like, wow, this sounds kind of weird in the middle of a hectic day to think these kind of thoughts. It's just sort of strange to me. But cease striving and know that I am God is a biblical concept.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me is another one, too, you know? And Jesus describes his yoke, as you said, as light. And so if you're laboring under a heavy yoke, I'll guarantee you God didn't put it there. You know, somebody else did, or you did.
All right, I got the app on my phone now. I love it. I love
okay.
it. Okay. So we'll repeat that again in just a minute. But let's get to, where is it? Benevolent, what's it called here?
Benevolent
attachment. What is that?
Yeah. Okay, so this is really, really crucial because the human beings are made to attach. We're made to bond, and you can go back into, you know, early childhood development. That's all in there. But what happens in a world like ours, we were talking about compassion overload. There's just too much. You know, when I learned that 1.9 billion animals have died so far in the wildfires in Australia, it just wrecks me. Like, that just wrecks me. My heart just breaks over stuff like that. And the human soul was never, never, never meant to carry the world. You know, back to your thing of God is big and we're little, and that's okay. You know,
right.
God is big and we're little, and that's okay. Like, you don't. So benevolent detachment, benevolent because I'm not angry, I'm not cynical, I'm not checked out, but I do need to detach. I need to untangle from the world. And so I use this, especially when I pull in the driveway. the end of my day, mm-hmm. turn the engine off in my truck, and I sit there, and it's that prayer, Jesus, I give everything to you. I give everything to you, and I'm learning to untangle from, you know, American politics and global financial news and the corona thing, and just turn it back over into the hands of the one who is God. And as we learn to do that, it was Augustine who said, if you empty yourself of all that's currently cluttering you, you will have room for God to fill you. And I want more of God. That's the bottom line.
Right. On purpose, there's two ways I can get to the radio station from where I live. Well, there's a lot of different ways. But the two quickest are either to take the 33 into Buffalo or the 190 around by the river. It's a little longer. It's probably another 8 minutes to get here. But by going around by the Niagara River, I get a chance to see Lake Erie. I get to see the river. And, you know, Buffalo can be kind of cloudy and dreary during the winter. And after, you know, it's been a long time since, like, we really saw sufficient sunshine. But today, it's been near 60 degrees and sunny, which is totally unusual for this time of year. But I thought, I'm going to listen to this John Eldridge podcast thing as I head in to work. I want to know what I'm getting into here with this conversation with him. But I'm going to go by the river because I want to experience God's creation while I'm listening to this. And you talk about that kind of thing in here. Like, these aren't weird concepts. The beauty plays a role in this, and I wonder if you can describe where beauty comes into play with regard to this whole thing you're describing.
Okay, I just want to say, everybody, do what Neil just said. Like, do that.
Okay.
take the prettier route, like, on your walk, on your commute. Okay, so here's why. People in hospitals recover faster, need less pain medication, are released sooner if they simply have a window looking on nature.
Wow.
God made nature to heal the human soul. And he knew that this life was going to be traumatizing. This life is heartbreaking, man. And nature heals. Beauty heals. And again, this is the pause, because most of us, we see it, but we just blast past it. Like, I don't have time for that. I used to listen to beautiful music. I stopped listening to it. Why? This busyness thing is crazy. It's beginning to starve me. And so we can pause. When you see something beautiful, you pause and you say, Father, thank you for this beauty. Thank you for the lake this morning. Thank you for the frost on my windshield. Thank you for how the beautiful feathers of it. Like, I receive this beauty into my soul. I let it comfort me. You know, in Psalm 23, when David says, you know, God has restored my soul, He said, in nature. It was green pastures and quiet waters. Mm-hmm. God uses all kinds of beauty. You know, the beauty of fabric, the beauty of touch, the beauty of people's faces, the beauty of music. Like, to let beauty...
Children laughing.
Yes, playing. We got a six-month-old golden retriever puppy. He's hysterical. And it's restoring joy. It's very, very healing.
Love it. Last thing real quick, and I know we got like a little over a minute, but you talked about like a second conversion experience. This doesn't mean you truly got saved again, but you ran into a wall at one point in your life and realized something needed to change, that you were burning out. There are some people that need a change in their life today. And just speak to that issue right now, because there are some who are just like on the edge and they want to embrace what you're describing, but they're fearful. Maybe just go there for a second.
Yeah, so the second conversion was this. Not only does God save us, but he heals us. He restores my soul, Psalm 23.
Right.
The gospel project really is a restoration project, friends. And so here's what I want to say. This is a brutal time to be a human being on the earth. It actually really is. And God cares about your humanity, not just your service, not just your theology. He cares about your soul, the condition of your life's experience. And so I would start with the pause. You know, either download the app or just begin to get a pause in your day, because as you create a little bit of space, God will meet you there, and he will begin to heal your soul.
Well, it's called the 1 Minute Pause. That's the app, the 1 Minute Pause. You can download it for free. The book is called Get Your Life Back, and it's from John Eldridge. It's available from Thomas Nelson at bookstores everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and that kind of thing. And I just want to say, Lord, thank you for what you've spoken into John's heart and life and how you're developing him in this area of learning to trust you and to rest and to let you be God over all of the aspects of his life. And thank you that you called us not only into service in your kingdom, but to be healed from the inside out. to truly know what we were created to be and the abundant life that you've described, but to also know that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So, Lord, help us to embrace the fullness of what you've called us to, and that is to also experience your peace and your rest. So, God, we thank you for it. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, John, you got to have a website somewhere, a John Eldridge website of some kind. Just tell us that before we let you go.
Yeah, just Google John Eldridge. JohnEldridge.com will get you there. But what I want to say is, Neil, thank you for leading the way for your people. Like, just your story about choosing Sabbath this year, that's going to save thousands of people. Way to go, man.
Well, I found myself in some awkward conversations trying to, like, defend my decision. But at the same time, I know that the Lord spoke it to my heart, so I'm standing firm. But thanks for the encouragement.
You hang on to that.
Thank you. God bless you, John. We'll talk again. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Best-selling author John Eldridge, our guest here on NBL. He's author of Get Your Life Back and a whole bunch of other books. This one's from Thomas Nelson. And, of course, there's the pause app that he described called the 1 Minute Pause. And I strongly encourage you to get that because it's going to remind you periodically to just stop and say, I need to pause. I need to let God be God over my thoughts right now, over the situation I'm in right now. I need to trust him. I need to rest in him. Really, in a sense, this is narrowing Worship Wednesday down to a single minute and saying, it's got to start somewhere. And rather than just, you know, being frantic about social media and the pressures of life, learning to trust God in the midst of the mess, I think, is what we've been called to, so that God can heal and restore our soul. And I want to know, here's my question to you right now. Does any of this resonate with you? Do you feel like God has been speaking this to your life? Is this something we even need to care about? Because it flies in the face of everything else culture tells us right now. Culture tells you to try harder and do more and accomplish more and measure up and all these other things. And the Lord's saying, no, I love you. I've got this. And you need to learn to rest in me and the finished work of what Christ did at Calvary, because I am able. I mean, think about 1 Thessalonians 5. Faithful is he who calls you, for he will also bring it to pass. Who does the work there? Who does the work? Who has promised to conform us to the image of Christ? Now, I'm not saying we don't cooperate with God's work in our life, but I'm here to say that God is the one who's promised to do this kind of work. He not only called us into relationship with himself, he paved the way by sending Jesus to Calvary. Jesus did the work for us. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy. He saved us. Do you see the perspective? So here's the question. Is God speaking this to your heart today? Is this something you feel like is important for people in the body of Christ? I got to believe some of you are way down the road on this, meaning you've already thought about it, wrestled with this concept. Some of you may have been fighting it. Some of you may have given in and said, Lord, I need you to help heal my soul because I'm just stressed. I've been trusting in my own abilities rather than your strength. What's your take on it? Love to get your input on this. 800-684-2848. 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area.
NBL, 2 to 6 p.m. is a place where you're always welcome. To prove it, we left the light on for you.
The 1 minute pause. Check it out. You can download it for free. I actually signed up for the whole thing. I downloaded it while I was talking to John and then just, you know, put in my name and email address. During the break here. So I'm going to be reminded to pause at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. every day. That is, if I happen to be checking my phone, because I have the notifications off on most of the apps on my phone, largely because I work in radio and I don't want my phone ringing or buzzing or doing things. So I already have that built in. That's kind of a nice thing. Like I can set my phone aside and it's not dinging me and binging me from the other side of the room. Yeah, so I found a little bit of freedom that way. But I'm curious because, you know, there are some people right now, please forgive me if you're one of them, but rolling their eyes going, really? I mean, come on. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and you're telling us we're supposed to rest and relax and unplug and maybe quit some things, you know, get off of certain committees, stop doing certain things. And some of this stuff is spiritual stuff, and, like, I'm supposed to do that and feel good about it. No, I'm used to working and striving and trying to accomplish things for God's glory and then give him all the glory. I put that in quotes, give him all the glory. I'm going to get to the phones in just a second. Last thing that just pops in my mind here when I was talking, that I remember being a little kid, and every year at church, they would give out a Christian Service Award to somebody who did the most for God's kingdom. And everybody wanted to win that thing. So, you know, this would be the person who was on 9 different committees and oversaw, like, the Sunday school picnic and helped print flyers for Vacation Bible School and who knows what else. I mean, this is somebody who was like a superhero in God's kingdom. And praise God for their willingness to work. I'm not throwing stones at that, but no one ever gets an award for being the one who simply trusts God the most, for the one who's just willing to trust that God is able and isn't stressing themselves out. There isn't an award for that. But I submit that maybe there should be. All right, let me get to Karen real quick, and then MJ right after that, and more of your phone calls. So, Karen, does any of this resonate with you, or am I off my rocker?
No, so loud and clear. I can't even tell you. I've been using Pause for well over a month now, before the book came out. I found it, I don't know, probably on Facebook, and it probably was early in the morning. And I recognized I needed this. Things have been slipping away, and my irritability level, it really was rising. I said, I have to, you know, really kind of get to the crux of this. And that app came at exactly the right time. And reading The Benevolent Detachment, how wonderful to be able to recognize you could let go of people and not feel guilty about it, and not feel guilty that you're doing it for yourself, because Jesus calls us away to be a part. I weep. When I did the 1 minute pause, I was really impressed. I just felt like it was drawing me away. Then the 3 minute pause introduced breathing, and just like you're taking those 2 extra minutes. And believe me, in this crazy world, 1 minute is a long time. And you're right. For people who feel like, are you kidding me? How am I supposed to do that? But I determined that I must do it, and I must do it in the middle of my busiest moments. So I was listening to what you were saying. You don't want your phone dinging and making an interruption, which then becomes an irritant and something that's calling you away from the importance, you know, the urgent, like to get their attention. So this is really remarkable. And then the 5 minute pause. Well, I was weeping. I've been bawling for a month, getting closer to the Lord, recognizing that He is right there, that I don't have to draw close. He's right there. All I have to do is acknowledge His presence. And it's been remarkable. I tell everybody, I've sent this app to everybody. I share it.
I love it.
And share it. It's fantastic. I have not gotten the book, though I intend to. And every time, of course, I go on pause, it reminds me that the book is available. So I love John Eldridge. What he writes is real and true. Yep. And he writes it from the heart. And the wonder of nature, well, my whole life I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I had to go to the beach or the botanical gardens to get to a tree or something that assembled nature. Otherwise, it's cement, you know? But it was.
That's so well said.
I used to find my way there. Yeah. And now that I live here, I have found every nature spot there is, because if I don't do that, my soul gets dry and barren. And the word that God spoke to me, I hate to take too much time, tell me if I'm too much. God spoke to me many years ago, called me a conduit. And I looked it up. I was like, is that in the Bible, the word conduit? But I realized it's a water pathway or something that transmits. So I said, okay, that's the gospel, and I can do that. And I can be that love person, right? So then I realized my conduit was getting dry and cracked. So when John Eldridge's voice tells me, when he's crying out to the Lord and says, saturate me, Lord, saturate me, that brings me to complete tears, because I need to be saturated to become healthy and whole again, to be able to carry the love of the gospel.
Wow. That is so well said. And my spirit is just absolutely soaring listening to what you're describing, Karen, because I think it's what we're called to.
Love this. It's remarkable. Quiet yourself and be alone with Christ.
And then
it's incredible.
Obviously, there's other aspects. I won't get into it right here, right now. But I mean, it's things like maybe we need to assess being on less committees at church, or you know,
What do you need to let go of? That's question that you're asked and over every pause. You're asked, what do you need to what you need to let go of? And let me tell you, Jesus brings them all. It's like a parade.
I'll go one last question for you, Karen. During your 5 minute pause, do you ever have coffee? Do you ever have coffee during the pause? Come on. You know where I'm coming from on that one, sister. I love
it. Yes, sir, I do.
All right.
But I do highly recommend it to everyone. I'm thrilled that it was on your program. Super excited. Because you always do, Neil, introduce the most amazing people. Andrew Farley, oh, my goodness. So I just love you. I love your Zach. I listen to him on Saturday. Fantastic. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for the encouragement.
Be blessed.
All right. Don't be a stranger, Karen. God bless.
I love you guys.
Bye-bye. Love you, too. So when we come back, it's MJ from Rochester. And hang on for just a minute. In fact, MJ, take a one-minute pause here, and we'll be back in a moment with more of NBL. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. How could it be wrong in the middle of the craziness of life to pause and just say, Lord, be God over the situation. Be present with me in the midst of this mess. Help me to rest and to trust you and to begin to develop a habit of recognizing God's presence in every circumstance. That's what we're talking about. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Confusion fades. Just a word. And suddenly I'm not afraid, 'cause you speak and freedom reigns. There is hope. And every single word you say, I don't want to miss one word you speak. 'Cause everything you say is life to me. I don't want to miss one word you speak. Quiet my heart, I'm listening.
And there's the prayer right there. Quiet my heart, I'm listening. So I feel like God's been speaking this message to my heart for a long time. We had conversations about, finding white space in our lives. Bonnie Gray, an author, was with us to talk about that. We've had conversations about minimizing our lives, you know, organizing ourselves in such a way that we're not overrun by the stuff that's all around us. And I just feel like God's bringing me to the point. I mean, he brought me to the point in October where I made the commitment to say that for an entire year, from my birthday in October to October of 2020, that I was supposed to be quiet before the Lord and just listen and see what he had to say. And how does that play out? I mean, I'm still a husband, and I'm a father and a grandpa, and I've got a job here, and we have certain commitments at the radio station that I fully plan on carrying out, so I'm not going anywhere. But all the extra stuff, all the craziness that, you know, that we can get sucked into, and a lot of it's good stuff, but you feel like you got to help this person and work on this cause or that cause and, try to change the world. I think the Lord was saying, I need to develop you as a person, and that's going to happen when you slow down and listen. So that's where my heart's been at, and it's why I think that this whole concept of what we're describing here and talking about with John Eldridge in his book, Get Your Life Back, you know, employing everyday practices for a world gone mad, matters. And it's why it's so profound to me. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 if you're calling in the greater Buffalo area. But I want to welcome MJ to the conversation from Rochester. And thanks for your patience, MJ. How are you?
I'm good, Neil. How are you?
Very good. Thanks. So what about you? Does this resonate with you? Does it make sense?
That's the word I was just going to say. Everything he said resonated with me.
How come?
Oh, my gosh. Well, just first of all, the news that you constantly hear, and it's not even just our country. It's globally. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy enough, like hearing constant bad news all over the world. But then the social thing, the internet. It's the world is way too fast paced, and it's funny because I'm in Rochester. It's beautiful here too today, and I'm on my way to work, and I'm like, remember the days of just like hanging out on a dock, you know, listening to the water, or just the simple things mm-hmm. of life,
right?
And like he said, it's like he doesn't go biking anymore. He does, and I find that too. I'm like, I can kill an hour or two easily just surfing the net.
Way more than an hour. I got a notification. A couple of weeks ago, I got a notification that I'd been on my phone like 7 hours in one day or something, and I have no idea where the time went, and I was really mad at myself. How in the world did I get on the phone for this long? I have no idea what I was doing. I imagine I would try to justify it by saying it was important, but it was taking time away from everything else that I consider valuable. It's like, I don't want to live that way.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap. Or, you know, wrong password and sign your password and, you know, all this frustration. And it is. It is such a trap. And the saddest part is the kids. That's what, I mean, I'm really concerned about this generation of kids, because I just remember being a kid, you know, I'm about your age, and just, there was times where I'd just go to my room and daydream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does anybody do that anymore?
I don't know. And it's a lost art for sure. The whole, like, one of my favorite things to do is to get up early in the morning, go on our back porch. We have an awning that covers, you know, the entire back porch. It's probably 30 feet long. And I can just sit there and listen to the wind in the trees, listen to the birds chirping in the spring.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, and by the way, the birds are starting to chirp again, which means spring is coming.
Yes.
But that solitude is life to me. And do I get to do it every day? No. And like, man, my life is dramatically affected when I don't spend time with the Lord and when I don't take time to breathe. And I just think that, I think it is, I don't want to overstate this as though it's this grand conspiracy, but we know that the enemy's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. It's given to us right in his word. So if he can rob us of our time to truly rest and know that God is God, to experience him in the little things of life, like you're saying, listening to like water in a babbling brook, you know, like, or the laughter of a child next door, you know, a little one who's being chased by his daddy. All these things, we're being robbed, and we don't.
We are.
And here's the point: we can do something about it. Like, sometimes people will say, you know, I'm so tired of living in this congested city, and it's so, you know, burdensome to me to have to take public transportation everywhere, and it takes hours to get where I'm going. Well, guess what? You have the freedom in Christ to move to a quieter location. and I don't want to oversimplify, because sometimes, you know, life's demands are just not that easy, because maybe kids are involved, and if you'd be moving away from the kids that live with their mom, but you're separated, or, you know, what, I don't know. There's a lot of factors, but to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want my life to be a rat race. I want to be able to experience you in the little things, the big things. I want to see your hand at work in relationships and in nature, and I want to love you. I want to enjoy you, but I'm not even aware of you most of the time, because life is so hectic and noisy.
Well, here's the thing. It's a trickle-down thing then, right? Because if we're not experiencing the power of God and his presence as we should, then how are we affecting the people around us, believers or unbelievers, right?
Sure.
It's bigger than we realize. It's like a big hand over us, you know, and controlling the strings.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. And so, which is why we need to call out to God, because you're 100% right. I agree with you. Man, thank you for weighing in on this, because I do believe, no matter how many people are able to call in during our, you know, open call segment here, I do believe that hundreds and probably thousands are saying, yeah, I see the value of that. But many are saying, but I don't have the time, or it's just not possible. And I say we need to stand against it in Jesus' name. It's why we're addressing it today anyway. So, all right.
Amen.
So, by the way, on the issue of like maybe quitting something, like if there's something you can let go of, what would it be? And we'll talk about that tomorrow if you want to give a call back, or any of you listening come to identify something in your life that needs to be removed so that there's less emotional and relational clutter. What would that be? And
yeah,
we're going to talk about that on tomorrow's program. So just kind of identifying the problem
today
and talking solutions tomorrow. Thank you, MJ. God bless.
Thanks, Neil. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So, yeah, we got a lot more time to talk about this here. At least I should say some more time to talk about it here. But tomorrow we've dedicated to, because we want to pause. We want to do just exactly what we're talking about. We want to demonstrate it by pausing and saying, Lord, is this an issue we need to care about? So that's kind of the question today. Are you speaking to my heart about this? Is this something that sounds like it's for me? And that's my question to you, because some of you are not in the place of, our first two callers here. Some of you are still fighting the issue and not resigned to the fact that this is going to be beneficial. You just think it's another, you know, just something else to do, just another thing on the checklist. And I'm submitting to you that I think it's the oxygen we need, because we've been oxygen deprived in terms of the clutter that's in our lives, the stress that's coming our way. What are your thoughts? You've been listening. You heard from John Eldridge. You heard some of the calls here. What are your thoughts? 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We're going to do the unthinkable on NBL in just a moment. Something I've never done before in all my years in radio. We're going to do it when NBL returns. So stick around if you want to know what it is. You'll find out soon enough.
If peace is a river, then let it sweep over me.
Need some good news? The wounds of Jesus paid our ransom.
I know it's refining me.
Thanks again for tuning in to NBL here on WDCX. And got an email here from a listener. I'm just going to read it quickly. It says, don't redefine the word Sabbath to fit your own interpretation. I don't know if this is talking to me or if it's talking to our audience in general. But anyway, don't redefine the word Sabbath to fit your own interpretation. Then parenthetically, I have studied the issue and word, and it is dispensationalism that wishes to destroy the fourth commandment. Eric Little, who's featured in Chariots of Fire, should be a laughingstock if you believe that the Sabbath doesn't mean to rest. We Americans have created God's mostly spectator sports to replace our time of true worship and fellowship that we can enjoy on our Sabbath. I'm not trying to debate the actual day, but the concept. North Americans have shifted hugely in the past 60 years on how we rest. Okay, so looking at Genesis chapter 2, on the seventh day, God ended his work. Some translations say ceased his work. The concept there is that he stopped working and did something different on the seventh day. He rested. And the challenge for us is to do the same. Now, I don't want to make an idol out of the Sabbath by focusing too much on that, but the point is God created it for our benefit, that we're to cease striving and rest. Cease our work. Cease from our, you know, stop our work and do something different. Rest. So I guess maybe that concept has been lost here, largely because so much stress, you know, we carry into the Sabbath, and that we're not taking time to know that he is God and to let him be God over our affairs. And really what's interesting about that concept is it says, Lord, 6 days I'll work with my hands, but on the seventh I'm going to rest. I'm going to honor you as God, and I'm going to cease from my labor and rest. And I trust, Lord, that the world's not going to fall apart if I do that. There's a real sense of trust attached to that concept, because it says that I don't need to be active all 7 days of the week for things to turn out okay in the world or in my life or in the circumstances I find myself. I'm going to let you be God. But I think that the concept of trusting God is really something that we need to bring into every decision, not just every day. That in any moment, you know, the Psalm 46:10, see striving and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God is something that we need to employ continually, because life keeps coming at us. So, yes, there's a day we can take to rest, and we should. It's something that God designed for our benefit and that he not only invites but I believe commands us to do. But on top of that, it's the concept of every single moment of every single day, knowing that he's the one who's in charge and resting in the finished work of Christ and what that means for us. John Eldridge, you know, described having kind of a second experience with God, at least as far as his understanding of the gospel. And he's not talking about getting saved again. He was truly a Bible-believing Christian and somebody who was walking with Jesus. But he was trying to manipulate the circumstances of his life and his family, his relationships, his obligations, his responsibilities in a way that would bring glory to God. And the Lord was saying, no, that's not for you to do. Part of coming to faith in Christ is not just being born into a relationship with God, but being transformed by God, by the renewing of our mind, and by God doing the work to conform us to the image of His Son. You know, God promised to do that in our lives, and allowing Him to do it and recognizing that He desires to do it is a part of the process. So I think that the invitation is a continual one for us to recognize that God wants to be Lord and Master over everything. Our finances, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our families, our work responsibilities, the mission that we've been called to be a part of. As believers, I believe that God has uniquely designed us for something, you know, that we play a role in God's kingdom, and we needed to, by His grace, to discover what that is and allow Him to work in and through that in our lives. But ultimately, it's about knowing that He's the one who's called us to this, that He is the one who's able. So before the break, I said I wanted to do something that I've never done before in all the years I've been involved in radio. And what's really weird is I've surely not been involved in radio for 60 years because I'm not even 60 years old. But it occurred to me the other day that I began in radio in the summer of 1979. And just how my brain works. I don't know. I was thinking about this. And that this is the year 2020, which means that I've actually been involved in six different decades in radio. So that would be the 70s, starting in the summer of 79, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 10s, and now the 20s. That's weird because I've clearly not been involved in radio for 60 years. If you add it all up, it's closer to 30, depending, you know, if you add in the time that I was working in radio while I was in college and then after graduating with my master's degree and working in other cities and stuff, it's closer to 30 years in radio, but over six different decades. How weird is that? And so what we're about to do here, I've never done before on any radio station anywhere. But just because we're talking about the concept of pausing and resting, and John Eldridge is encouraging people to do that for 60 seconds, and he's got this app called the 1 Minute Pause, which you can download for free, which is designed to remind you to breathe, to take a rest, and to acknowledge that God is Lord and Master over every circumstance. By the way, I was at the gym on Friday morning. I was there this morning as well. But on Friday morning, a woman who works at the gym was talking to my wife, and she said, you know, I realize that I'm hunching over all day, that I'm like my shoulders are tight, my neck is tight, and I get so much stress right here. And she was kind of, you know, reaching over her shoulder and pointing to the area between her shoulder blades. There's just like a ball of stress here at all times, and it feels so good to stretch it out and to maybe even have somebody massage that area because there's so much stress concentrated there. And as she was talking, I was looking at her thinking, man, that's exactly what I feel a lot. And, you know, especially during doing a talk show, leaning over, talking into a microphone, I realize sometimes that I'm experiencing stress right there. So here's the thing. You got something on your mind today. It could be a medical condition, might be a relational thing. You know, maybe there's you got a prodigal child that you've been praying for, you're stressed out about, something related to your finances or your home or your job. Maybe it's your own spiritual condition, something that you're trying to get under control that you're struggling with. You got something on your mind. We all do. So take just a second to think about it, and then we're going to pause and ask God to be Lord over it. And I'm going to pray for a minute, and then we're just going to pause for 60 seconds. And the reason I had to check with our engineer and stuff is because if there's nothing going out over the airwaves, we're going to get a signal in here that says that we're off the air, probably in about the first 15 seconds. I might see the light. I'm not going to hear any noise. Will I, Zach? Okay, I'm not going to hear any noise, but I'll see a light go off over my head saying that we're off the air. But it's actually because I'm going to pause. And you're going to find out how long 60 seconds actually is in real time, because that's exactly what we're going to do. So, Lord, for fun, just to do a little experiment here, we're going to take 60 seconds to acknowledge that you are God. And during that time, I'm not going to be saying anything. Maybe in my heart I will. But I'm going to want to listen for what you have to say to me, and I want to acknowledge that you are Lord and Master over everything that's going on in my life and in our lives. And, Lord, I pray that we would be conscious of the importance of doing this on a regular basis, because I think we're too involved in trying to work out all this stuff in a way that's for our benefit, for the benefit of our children, our incomes, and everything else. Lord, we get way too caught up in the details when I think that you're inviting us to rest in the reality that you are Lord and Master over all of it. So God, right here and right now, we want to acknowledge that you are Lord, that you're in charge, that you've got us in the palm of your hand, that we are loved by you unconditionally, and that what was necessary for us to be born into a relationship with you was purchased at Calvary. And I pray that everyone listening right now has accepted that reality, has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and has a relationship with you. If not, that maybe this next minute of time will be spent acknowledging a need for you, Lord Jesus, because salvation is found in no other name but the name of Jesus. But for those of us who do know and love you, Lord, sometimes we get way too involved in the details of our life, thinking we can work things out for in a way that's best for us and for those around us. But I believe you're inviting us to learn to trust you. And so for the next 60 seconds, Lord God, we're going to give you the opportunity to demonstrate your presence in our lives. Speak to us, we pray, in a way that would bring you glory and help us to rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Wow. Never thought 60 seconds lasted so long, did you? That's incredible. And yes, the on-air warning light, the off-air warning light came on, I don't know, about 45 seconds into it. It actually was a bit of a distraction because I had my eyes open. But yeah, Lord, thank you. Thank you for teaching us about the importance of pausing, to cease our striving and know that you are God. We'll be back with more of NBL in just a moment. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. John Eldridge, author of Get Your Life Back, was our guest earlier. There's actually an app called the 1 Minute Pause, which encourages you to refocus on who Jesus is in the midst of the mayhem.
International border, international schmorter. Welcome home to NBL.
Yeah, you know, last week we talked a bit about why it is that Christians spend so little time in God's Word, and there were some interesting comments about that. I think there's a lot of you and us that would admit that we could spend a lot more time in God's Word. Some have been involved in Scripture memorization in the past. Some have never memorized Scripture verses, but hiding God's Word in our hearts so we don't sin against God is a part of the prescription for what it means to live righteous and holy lives and to live free from sin and stuff like that. I mean, Jesus made it possible, but God has given us some guidelines and some steps we can employ, including memorizing Scripture. How many Scripture verses have you memorized lately? And you might say, and this is not to be, you know, this is not condemnation, it's a question. You might say, well, I'd love to do that kind of stuff, but there's too much clutter in my life. Okay, so then imagine that we're walking into a room together, And we see that it's cluttered. And we say, some stuff has got to go. Something's got to go. So what's the first thing we're going to toss from the room? Well, how do we eliminate clutter? What's the first thing we can get rid of? And we're going to ask that question on tomorrow's program. Like, if we want to get our lives back, and if we want to employ the practice of trusting God and acknowledging the presence of God more clearly in our daily lives so that we're not overwhelmed by life circumstances and all the stuff that the world is throwing at us, including, you know, the news media and social media and all the stress and burden of what it means to work and travel and to try to manage families and pay our bills and all that stuff. In the midst of all this mayhem, we want to create a little room to breathe. So what needs to go? That's going to be the question on tomorrow's program. And I want you to think about that over the next 24 hours. What needs to go in order to find the freedom? And by the way, Zach Mann helped to identify several songs that we're going to get to here in just a couple minutes that I think will get us more focused on this issue, that they lend themselves to this kind of a conversation, to the idea that we can let go and we can truly trust God because he's got us in the palm of his hand. So we're going to get to some of that in just a moment. But Lord, clearly show us what it is. Help us to identify what it is that we need to let go of in order that we can experience more of you. So we're going to try to clear some clutter out of our lives tomorrow, but it's got to start somewhere. So what is that thing? And by your Holy Spirit, I pray you'd make it clear. Thank you, Lord, for being master over all of these things. We give our time, our attention to you. We want to serve you and love you more, but at the same time, we need to learn to rest in your promises. Teach us what that looks like. In Jesus' name, amen.